Senator John Fetterman's political identity crisis is one of the more genuinely interesting stories in American politics right now. He published an op-ed in which he called his own previous push to eliminate the Senate filibuster horribly wrong. That is a direct reversal of a position he held as recently as 2022. And it comes precisely as Trump is leaning on Senate Republicans to kill the 60-vote threshold to pass his voting bill. Fetterman is essentially providing bipartisan cover for keeping the filibuster alive, but from a Democrat who has already broken with his party on multiple issues.
The deeper question Fetterman is publicly asking, whether Democrats still want him, is not rhetorical theater. The GOP has been actively courting him, and his voting record over the past 18 months has been sufficiently heterodox that a party switch is at least a coherent possibility. He has broken with Democrats on immigration, on some defense votes, on aspects of the budget debates. The filibuster op-ed is him signaling to his base, "I still believe in Senate procedural norms, but the base is increasingly asking whether that's enough."
For Democratic leadership, Fetterman represents an almost impossible management challenge. Pennsylvania is a state they need. Losing his Senate seat in a potential party switch would be catastrophic for any hope of recapturing the chamber. But accommodating his increasingly conservative positions undermines the policy agenda that animates the donor base and the activist infrastructure. There is no clean answer here.
The Rand Paul and Fauci diary situation is also worth breaking down carefully. Paul released over 1,000 pages of Fauci's pandemic diary entries ahead of scheduled Senate testimony today. The diaries reportedly reveal two things. First, that Fauci had personal social relationships with media figures, including CNN's Jake Tapper, dinners, texts, during a period when he was the country's lead public health communicator. And second, that private diary entries about COVID's origins were inconsistent with his public statements. Both of those are significant, but they're significant in different ways.
The media relationship issue speaks to questions about whether Fauci's public communication strategy was shaped by relationships that should have been disclosed. The origin question is more substantive scientifically, because if his private assessments differed from his public positions, and the lab leak hypothesis has gained considerable credibility since 2021, that creates a genuine accountability question. Not necessarily a legal one, but a public trust one.
The Biden ghostwriter tapes are a parallel story in the accountability space. Classified material references in a book ghostwriting process raise questions about how Biden's team handled sensitive information during the book project. This is legally distinct from the documents cases involving Trump and Biden that we covered extensively in 2023 and 2024. But it feeds the same narrative about whether former officials and their staff treat classified information with appropriate seriousness.
And above all of this hovers the money. New data shows billionaires have committed $433 million to the 2026 midterms, with 80% of that going to Republican candidates and committees. That is a ratio that would have been noteworthy even 5 years ago. The concentration of donor money at the very top of the wealth distribution and its tilt toward one party is a structural feature of the current political financing environment that has accelerated since the Citizens United decision in 2010.
Speaking of financial and legal structures, this is actually a good moment to talk about antitrust, because the BlackRock story, the tech lawsuits, and some of the market concentration stories we're covering today all touch on how law thinks about market power. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, makes it illegal to monopolize trade or commerce. But here's the thing that most people get wrong. Having a monopoly isn't itself illegal under U.S. law. What's illegal is using anti-competitive conduct to gain or maintain a monopoly. Market share alone doesn't get you there.
That's a really important distinction. You could be the only company selling something because you're just genuinely better than everyone else. That's legal under Sherman. What you can't do is buy up competitors to suppress them, or use predatory pricing to drive rivals out, or enter exclusive dealing arrangements that foreclose the market. The legal test is whether your dominance came from superior skill, foresight, and industry, which is fine. or from conduct that stifles competition, which is not.
When you look at the Meta lawsuits, or the Discord and teen exploitation cases, or when you think about NVIDIA's AI chip dominance, the antitrust question isn't, are they big? It's, are they using their bigness to prevent others from competing? A sandwich shop that has 10,000 locations isn't a monopoly problem. A sandwich shop that threatens bread suppliers into not selling to competitors is. That distinction drives almost every major tech antitrust case in court right now.